It's actually our partners who have come up with the whole concept for this caravan. We have three CAFOD partners from different dioceses who are in Kenya that are actually on the caravan, plus the representative from our East Africa office in Nairobi. And the idea is basically that this is a very difficult time in terms of the prospects of dealing with climate change. I think many people feel that this is an absolutely huge challenge and that there's not much effective action from governments at the moment. So I think the message is to say, you know, we can actually still do something about this. The window of opportunity has not closed yet. And here are some of the issues for us, particularly in Africa. This is the sort of African story on climate change. And here are our concerns and aspirations, given that obviously the talks are taking place in Durban and it's the first time that these talks have been held in the African continent. Also, obviously, given that Africa is going to be one of the regions that is potentially will be hardest hit by climate change impacts. And of course, you know, countries like Kenya are already witnessing the impacts of climate change, for example, on farmers and pastoralists.
Well, exactly. I was going to say the message is particularly poignant because of this terrible drought that is affecting millions and millions of people in the Horn of Africa. Is the message they're taking that the drought is actually a result of climate change?
I think no scientist would say that a particular weather event is, you know, the result of climate change. I think basically in terms of extreme weather events, I think scientists would say that those kind of events are very consistent with having much higher levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. But obviously on the ground, the way people experience is that they experience that, you know, periods of drought are getting much longer, much more intense. Rainfall is much more sporadic, and they basically cannot rely on having the same weather patterns that are absolutely fundamental to them to be able to plan and to plant their crops, etc. You know, they can no longer rely on having those stable, regular weather patterns, and that is causing people a great deal of extra hardship. And obviously, these are people, in many cases, who are already facing a lot of hardship. You know, they have a lot of problems to survive and to live well. And climate change is just adding, you know, another extra burden to them, basically.
The past conferences haven't yielded the hoped for results. What expectations, what hopes do you have for this event?
Well, we very much think, you know, we think this is actually another key moment. I mean, obviously, I think many of us got together. There was a huge movement, obviously, around the world and obviously within the Catholic community and in many countries, calling for a global deal to cut emissions at Copenhagen in 2009. That didn't happen. We had some progress at Cancun the next year in 2010. And what we're looking to do basically here is we're saying governments need to deliver on what was agreed at Cancun, but they also, we really do need to push for action to get serious cuts in emissions, the kinds of cuts that we need that are in line with what science is telling us we need to keep the planet safe. So the two main things that CAFOD will be calling for is that countries continue to support a legally binding agreement on emissions cuts, so that basically that they support the continuation of the Kyoto Protocol, which, as you know, is due to expire at the end of next year. And the second issue for us is around making sure that governments live up to their pledges to mobilize $100 billion in climate finance for developing countries by 2020. And we want a process for that, a plan for how governments are actually going to do that. We want that to be agreed at Durban so they can actually get on with making sure the resources are there to support countries like the countries in Africa to make sure that those countries are supported to cope with a changing climate for the long term.
Maybe the fact that the world has witnessed the dramatic effects of poor rains in Africa this year will actually pressure world leaders to review their policies on climate change. Is that one of your hopes?
Well, yes. I mean, this would be one of the hopes is that we really basically that world leaders, you know, can overcome their differences and actually sit down around the table and come up with a serious plan for cutting emissions. And for cutting emissions, you know, urgently over the short time, because I really think, you know, many expert commentators are saying, you know, we have a shrinking door here, a shrinking window of opportunity to really avoid the, you know, unmanageable climate change that will, of course, affect people, who are already very vulnerable, like people in the Horn of Africa, you know, it will affect them the most. They have the fewest resources to cope. So, you know, that's a great hope, is that, you know, we in the West, or we in developed countries, need to really change our lifestyles and cut our emissions and move to a low carbon lifestyle. But we also need to support people who are already being hit by the impact of a changing climate, and to help them to build a different development path as well that is low carbon.
Sarah, I understand that this caravan of hope left Bujumbura on the 9th of November. Have you had any news from the participants along the route?
Yes, we've had regular blogs, regular updates from our three partners on the caravan. We heard the other day from the Mau Forest in Kenya, where there was a memorial held for Wangari Maathai. You probably know the Kenyan environmentalist who very sadly died recently. And she was obviously a great voice, a great African voice, speaking up, protecting the natural resources, the forests in her native Kenya, and obviously for protecting the natural resources of the African continent. So it was a very fitting memorial for her, basically.
Climate change has been on the agenda for, I'd say, at least 8-10 years now on the world agenda. Do you think that people's concept of climate change has actually changed? Has it sunk in? Let's talk about the general population as to how important this issue really is.
I think, for example, in the UK, I think it's very difficult, for example, for us to really understand the sort of magnitude of this problem. I mean, everybody has their own problems in their daily lives. For example, in the UK, we're facing an economic crisis. People are very concerned about their jobs. People are very concerned about what's going to happen to their own families. So I think it's very difficult sometimes for people to look at these bigger issues. But I think, at least in the UK, I think people know that, you know, climate change is happening. They know it's a real problem. They know it's caused by our lifestyles, by the way that we live, particularly in developed countries. And I think, unfortunately, nobody will be immune from those impacts. So, again, I think the urgency, perhaps some people don't quite understand the urgency, but I really feel that will increase as the impacts will increase. I think what we need is we need to have imagination, and we need to have compassion and solidarity with people, as I say, in other countries that are already suffering some very terrible impacts of changing weather patterns due to climate change.
Sarah, will you be in Durban for the conference at all?
Yes, I will be representing CAFOD there and meeting with our partners who are, as they come to the end of their journey on the Caravan of Hope.
And what role will CAFOD have to play in the conference?
Well, CAFOD will be obviously trying to help support and represent the voice of our partners who, as I say, are already suffering the impacts of climate change, and we'll be lobbying governments and all the different negotiators that are there in what's a very complex process, trying to lobby them, particularly, as I say, at the moment we have our Don't Drop the Ball campaign, so we're trying to make sure that the UK government and other governments live up to their pledges to provide enough resources for poorer countries to cope and to adapt to a changing climate. But we obviously, a big question is the future of the Kyoto Protocol, which is the only legally binding agreement on emissions cuts. And we really, really need to try and preserve that, and obviously to try and extend it in the future to take in the really all the big emitting countries.
You know, of course, that Pope Benedict XVI is behind you in his very forceful stance for the protection of environment. What value does his message have in the world today?
I think it's extremely important for the church to use its prophetic voice to really speak up about this issue, which really threatens, you know, the future of humanity and the future of the planet. And obviously, we as stewards of the planet and of all the natural resources, I think the church has an absolutely key role to play. And I hope that we will be speaking up, you know, very clearly sending a message to political leaders, to decision makers, that it really is time for serious action to cut emissions, basically, and to really support poor countries to cope with a changing climate.